Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so we come to the second Sunday of the season of Epiphany. And let me just remind you how we got to this point and what leads to that season of Epiphany, which is kind of a mysterious season in a way. It is unknown. What does Epiphany really mean, and what is this season all about? Remind you, the first Sunday in December, we started our journey in the Christian church year, and we had that season of Advent. Advent's a wonderful season. It's that time of preparation and anticipation as we anticipate the birth and the second coming of our Lord. Advent, lighting the candles and singing the songs. And then, of course, we had the time of Christmas. Now, Christmas, as you know, officially begins on December 25th and runs through the 6th of January, the day of Epiphany. 12 days of Christmas, but we kind of muddle that up a little bit with Advent in there, and we kind of mix those two seasons together. But Christmas is such a wonderful time as well, the traditions of Christmas, the message of Christmas that is so central to our Christian life and faith. And so we take those messages of Advent and Christmas and the birth of Jesus, and we now come into the season of Epiphany. And Epiphany, epiphanos is the word. Epiphanos meaning to give us the light of Jesus, or in other words, to make this Jesus truly known as the Son of God. Not just as a child in Bethlehem, but as the Son of God. Epiphanos. I love Epiphany. Epiphany is a wonderful, very quiet, very gentle season. Doesn't have a lot of the trappings of Christmas and of Advent. It is good to be here this day as we celebrate baptism. The baptism of our Lord. And so from that time of Christmas, we fast forward 30 years, to the time when Jesus is at the River Jordan, and John the Baptist is there. And Jesus is baptized by John in the River Jordan. That time in Jesus' life was a major grounding day for him. It was a major day when he heard that voice, the dove descending from heaven, it says. And the voice said, as Ryan read, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I want to take you then 3 years after that. His 3 years of ministry are now complete. And it is the day of Transfiguration. Jesus is on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And Moses and Elijah appear to them from the past on that mountain as well. And the transfiguration and the baptism of Jesus stand kind of as bookends, if you will. The baptism begins the ministry of Jesus. "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And the transfiguration, 3 years later, the same voice, the same words, "This is my beloved Son. You have done a good job. And now it's time to go." Those days for Jesus were tremendously grounding, important grounding days for him. For Jesus and for us, our baptism stands as a very important day for all of us. The wonder of God's grace that came over us on that day when the water was placed on our head and the words were spoken, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And it was on that day that God claimed us as his children. And it was the beginning of our journey as Christians. Even though we were but infants at the time, many of us, that journey began. and God claimed us as his children. And so today we remember the life-giving gift of baptism for Jesus, and we remember that gift that came to us. And I'm sure you can think back to that place. Probably not the time, because, again, as infants, but to remember that place and those people and the mother and father who presented us that day for holy baptism. I want to have us think a little bit about our first lesson today from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. 6 centuries before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah is speaking the words of God. And he says to the people of Israel, and those words redound down through the centuries to us today. And the word of God came through Isaiah to the people of Israel and said, I created you, and I formed you, and I have called you by name, and you are mine. Powerful words. In the last parish, and I believe even into the parish before, we gave banners to every child that was baptized. And the banner was probably 10 inches by 30 inches. A group of ladies in the church, I think including Naomi, made those banners. And on that banner that hung there at the baptismal service for that child and was given to them following were those words, I have called you by name. And then the child's name was put on that banner. And you are mine. It's a thrill for me, and I know for Naomi as well, when we go into the homes of our children and see the banners that were given to our grandchildren. Those banners hang there as a reminder of the grace of God that came over them that day as they were baptized in God's name. But baptism is not just an event that happened back then, but it was the beginning of a journey, and that journey calls us to be messengers, to be people of God who bring that message of peace. And as it says in our bulletin, you ever notice that? It says, Pastor Don E. Volpe, and the ministers are the members of the congregation. Together, we form those messengers, whether clergy or lay, to be the people of God to bring the message to the world. And then there's the divine promise from Isaiah. God speaking says again, when you pass through the waters, in whatever those waters may be, and the waters at times may be deep, and the waters may be a raging torrent, when you pass through those waters, whatever life gives you, they shall not overwhelm you, says God. Or when you walk through the fire, think about that one. When you walk through the fire, it shall not consume you, for I will be with you. I am your God. That's the promise of God that was given to all of us in our baptisms. That as we walk through life, no matter how difficult the journey may be, it will not overcome you, and I will be with you, for I am your God. When Jesus stands in that river on that day when he was baptized, he begins the ministry of his life, 3 short years. 3 years. Think of what he accomplished in 3 years. And then 3 years later, he hears those same words that he heard at his baptism, you are my son. Your work is now over. It's time for you to put the punctuation. It's time for you to die for the people of the world. So we are God's children. I remember as a boy thinking about identity. What is your identity? God's children. But we also have other identities that come with us. And I remember as a boy growing up in a western Minnesota town, and my father was a businessman in that town. He was a mobile oil businessman, and he was also a very active Gideon and Christian. I think I've mentioned that from this pulpit before. And I remember as I would go about as a young boy and talk with people, I had a paper route, and I worked at Chet's Red and White grocery store. And I remember, oh, you're Roy's boy. You're Roy's boy. I remember even later on, I think I must have been in my mid to late 50s, and Naomi and I were at Peltier's on Fish Creek. And I think we'd had a fish boil that night, and there was some people that were sitting not far from us, and I recognized that one man. His name was Reuben Bankston. And Reuben Bankston was from my hometown. I knew him as a young man growing up there. He worked for the newspaper. He was a man who, he had an article that was called Man About Town. And if you wanted to know anything about the town that I grew up in, you would talk to Reuben Bankston. He knew it all. I went over to say hi to Reuben. Again, I was probably at the time 55, 57 years old. And he says, oh, you're Roy's boy. You're Roy's boy. It's an identity. Went back home then, and he did, I should say. He went back to my home, Wilmer, in Minnesota, and he wrote an article. He said, I met Roy's boy up in Door County. Yeah. There is that identity. So we have an identity not only as Roy's boy, but we have an identity as God's son, as God's daughter. And that is tremendously important. Martin Luther said that every day he makes the sign of the cross and he says to himself, I am baptized. I am baptized. What an important thing to remember every day. And that tells us who we are and whose we are. I want to close with just a little story that I recently heard, and it's a fascinating story. A man by the name of Burnham Ledford. He was 100-something years old. And he lived in Kentucky. And he remembered as a child being introduced to his great-great-grandmother. And the person who was talking with him said, what was it like meeting her? And with a soft smile, Burnham responded, oh, I'll never forget that day. It was hot and humid. Sunday afternoon. And my family decided to take me over to visit my great-great-grandmother. It was a long trip, and I never really wanted to go. But I went anyway with my parents. To make matters worse, when I got there after the long trip, went into the house, and I saw that she was not only old, but she was blind. And to me, she looked mean. And so at first, I was afraid of her. We brought Burnham along to see you today, my father said. And she turned in my direction with outstretched arms, long bony fingers. And she said, bring him here. Well, they practically had to push me across the room. But when I eventually got over to her, I found that those same hands of which I had been so frightened of were surprisingly gentle. She carefully traced the outline of my face. down through my hair and my neck and onto my shoulders. And then in a voice so filled with love and acceptance, I heard her whisper, "This boy is one of ours. This boy is part of our family. This one belongs to us." That's what God said to Jesus when he was baptized. It's what God said to all of us when we were baptized. We are God's children. This one belongs to us. And that makes all the difference in the world.